Everybody, how are you? All right, so I didn't even look if it was in a bulletin, but the title of today's sermon is How to Be Best Friends with God. Okay, and I'm sure there's probably somebody, at least one person, that's thinking, how did he ever decide to talk about that? I think I always have a lot to talk about, but throughout the earlier years in my life, some of you know I attended Catholic grade school for 8 years, and I think through my mid-20s, my relationship with God was just more of a respect, kind of a respectful ritual. You know, I went to church, I tried to be good, I did my best not to kill anybody, even though sometimes I think all of us feel like it, and I'm just saying that as a joke. But I just kind of tried to do what's right. You know, I did my thing. I kind of saw God as up there kind of doing his thing, and I just tried to slug things out the best I could. Go to college, build up finances, maybe get married someday, have kids, get old and die, okay? And it was, you know, pretty much that. And I never really thought about what it means to be a friend of God. You know, I remember, I think it was in third grade there, you know, and like anybody that ever went to Catholic school is very rigid and with questions. Why did God make you? God made me to know love and serve him. And, you know, it's like I concentrated more about getting the answer right than I did what it really meant. So I figured this would be, you know, I don't know where you guys are in life today. And I just figured this would be kind of a good refresher course, not only for myself, but also for you guys to examine your own hearts and determine where you are with God. Are you really a good friend or a best friend of God? So with that, let's go to prayer and then we'll get started. Blessed Father, we just thank you for bringing us to church today to worship your name, to hear your word spoken through me. And Lord, I just pray that I sense it has a mighty responsibility, and I just genuinely pray that your will be done through what I say today, and that everything I say glorifies you, and also that in some way, what I say challenges others to examine their hearts and to think about their relationship with you and determine, are they just being more legalistic in their life like I was and still am many times, or do we really consider that we have an awesome relationship with you? So, Lord, let your will be done during this sermon. All the glory be yours. Amen. Okay, let's get started. I think I felt more comfortable the first time I was up here about a month ago because my biggest critique wasn't sitting in a third row, Kiwan Aaron. But, you know, I think after all these years, they know me by now. And, you know, I'll just kind of talk about who I am and, you know, what I believe and hope that you guys can just take away something with that. So, how to become best friends with God. When I first thought about this title, and I looked up some information in different sources, something kind of seemed weird about that, okay? And it's weird about 2 weeks ago when I picked up my Fitbit, for those of you that have them. I don't know if you know, if this is just a setting, but a lot of time when you pick yours up, you get a short little message. And, you know, it's like an encouraging message. So I picked mine up about 2 weeks ago, and it said, "Hi, friend, let's get going." And I kind of thought about that. And, you know, in this message today, this friendship with God is much more than that. This is just a dumb old electronic circuit board that is programmed to say nice things. But our relationship with God is a lot more than that, okay? So what kind of relationship does God really want from you and I? I don't know if you guys have ever really thought about that. It's just, I think it's amazing to know that You know, everything we know about God, how powerful he is, everything he created, the universe, all of us, everything in the world. I mean, that's just awesome. And to think that he really wants a relationship with each one of us, an individual relationship, not just like, okay, I really like these guys here today, I'll bless them, but a relationship with every one of us in our own unique way, in our own unique, the way we were made by God and everything that goes along with it. So a relationship with God has many aspects. You know some of the words we call God, God our Father. We call him your creator, the maker, judge, master, Lord, redeemer, savior. And there's many other names for God. I kind of went on the internet, and it's crazy when you look on the internet. One says there's about 100 names for God used in a Bible. One says 75 and everywhere. But the purpose is the same. There's a lot of different names that God was called in the Bible. And they're all respectful names, but they have different aspects of his character. So it's just unbelievable that really knowing all that, who God is, that he wants us as a friend. So in James 4:8, it says, draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. Now, when I worked on this sermon, I'll be honest with you, I tapped a few famous pastors for information on this, some serious, some just on different quotes. But one thing is when these Bible verses are used, they kind of make me nervous because, you know, if you read the Bible and you believe in everything it has, there's some pretty serious verses that I'll read today. So it's like, okay, you can't undo that. You heard it. Now that places that, I don't want to say guilt, but that places a responsibility in your lap if you've never heard these before. But James 4:8, draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. So I think in the beginning, looking back, when the time of Adam and Eve, it was just kind of the perfect world. When God created Adam and Eve, they had an incredible, close, intimate relationship with God. They were in God's presence continually. There were no rules, no rituals. I mean, we didn't have what Catholics believing versus what Lutherans believe and all that type of thing. It was just a close, beautiful relationship with God. Until the big mistake, when there was one rule, don't eat from that tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But when they did in sin, that sin broke a relationship, and that relationship with God was lost. In the Old Testament, there weren't many people that were called friends of God. And I'm telling you that because I'm talking here today how we can be best friends with God. But even in the Old Testament, there were I think it was 5 or 6 people that were called friends of God. That was Abraham, Moses, David, Enoch, and Job. They had special mentions in the Bible that they were friends of God. But most of the time in the Old Testament, depending how familiar with you are with the Old Testament, it seemed like there were guilt and fear were... It was more commonplace in relationships with God instead of love and friendship. So I was reading about when priests would go and get ready in advance to worship God in his presence and seek atonement for the sins of Israel in the holy place or the holy of holy. You read about that, the temple. And the priests would have to prepare for about a year in order to have this meeting with God. And they'd go in this holy place, and, you know, there was blood sprinkled and just a lot of ritualism. But it was really planned out. It's not like it's not like how it is today. Once Jesus died and our sins were forgiven. All right, so it mentions in the Bible, I don't want to bore you about the holy seed and all this stuff and what was in the Holy of Holies, but it was basically an extremely holy place. There were a lot of rituals for that priest to be able to go and pray, and that was one priest one time a year, and he prayed for everybody. So with Jesus, there was a new way. When he died on the cross and paid for our sins, the veil was broken. You read about the veil. The curtain was ripped from top to bottom in the Holy of Holies, the outer curtain and the sanctuary, symbolizing the separation between God and man that existed. It was there for thousands of years, that separation, and now that was gone. So let me just take a drink and we'll move on. Okay, Jesus provided a clear, direct path from him to us without any separation. Everyone now could have enjoy the access and to God's presence in their life at any time. We didn't have to do all this preparation. It wasn't once a year. Okay, so in Romans 5:10, see, Lisa and I, we have this thing worked out. I nod, she does what I want. We're going to have to work that out, Kiwa, I think. Okay, so in Romans 5:10, we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son while we were still his enemies. Okay, so that's kind of amazing. While we are still his enemies, we were restored to a friendship with God. So we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. So you can't buy, you can't earn, you can't bribe your way to a friendship with God, but you can receive it as God's gift paid for by Jesus Christ. God's grace is forgiveness of our sins, and that's Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus says this in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, instead I call you my friends. Okay, so as I keep speaking today, you're just going to keep hearing different verses about being a friend of God. So isn't that awesome? God of the universe, he wants you. He wants me for a friend. There's a difference between a friend and a casual acquaintance. And I think with most people in this world, including myself, I think we think of God more as an acquaintance. But he wants a deep, close, intimate relationship with us. It's not just like, yeah, I know who you are. And, you know, I don't remember where it is in the Bible, but it even says that even the demons know who God is. Okay, so just being an acquaintance of God, just knowing about him, doesn't necessarily make you a good friend of God. So another Bible verse in Exodus 34:14. He is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. Okay, so, I mean, these verses just keep reinforcing that God is passionate about a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us. So, you guys probably know, but the Bible also said that God is jealous when we put other gods in his place, okay? I'm sure you guys know what those other gods are. There's all kinds of things that become our gods in life. Success, pleasure, sex, whatever. You know, we can go on and on and on. And we put these things in a way just through our daily living. And they end up kind of blocking that relationship that we have with God because we just concentrate on that so much. So these are just cheap substitutes instead of a good relationship with God. All those pleasures are cheap substitutes. And that doesn't mean God doesn't want us to have fun, okay? But when these things overtake us having an intimate relationship with God, that's when they start to overshadow our relationship with God. So he wants us to be passionate about a relationship with him because he's passionate about a relationship with us. So in Hosea 6:6, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me, okay? Again, just repeating, in that relationship, we have to know who God is. There's two main purposes for a relationship with God, to know him and to love him, okay? I remember from third grade, there was serve him on there. That wasn't mentioned from what I could find in the Bible, but you know, If you know God and you love him, the serving and everything else comes along with that, knowing and loving God, okay? So we could go on and on what it really means to know and love God, but that's just kind of an outgrowth. Everything else that we do to show our love for God is an outgrowth of those two, the way we have that relationship with him. So God didn't just put us on this planet to hang out and keep busy, okay? He really does want that relationship with us. If you miss the purpose or the reason for having a relationship with God, you miss out on the main reason for living. You can be the richest, successful, most famous person, most beautiful, most handsome, whatever it might be, the best person on the planet. But if you don't know God, you miss that real purpose in life. I was thinking about the celebrities, you know. I follow a lot of news on the internet, and I'm sure you can think back over the past 3, 4, 5 years without naming names of different celebrities and that have committed suicide. And, you know, when you read some of the background them through their friends, a lot of it is because they were just sinking after so many earthly things, attention, fame, fortune, whatever it might be, but they were really on the empty on the inside, and when they had problems, they really didn't have anything to turn to. All the money in the world doesn't do you any good. All the fame doesn't do you any good. In some ways, that fame is a hindrance because people know you as one thing, but you're coming across as another. So in Acts 17, 26 through 27, starting from scratch, God made the entire human race and made earth hospitable or livable with plenty of time and space for living so that we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but to actually find him. All right, so that's God's number one plan and purpose for you, for your life and mine, just to be able to spend that time with him, not just kind of wandering around the earth and doing your own thing. So I'm going to talk about 5 ways of building a fellowship, a relationship, a friendship with God. The first step in building a relationship with God is make knowing God a number one priority in your life. You'll never become a friend of God in your spare time. Okay, and I'll be honest with you. God, you know, I give him a lot of my spare time, and it's not very much. So when I say these things, I hope that you challenge yourself also and ask you what type of my time am I giving to God? Is it just crumbs? Is it my spare time? And I think most of you know, at the end of the day, it's like you try praying and it's probably better than taking a sleeping pill. You fall asleep real fast sometimes. And Kiwa knows, I can fall asleep in 10 seconds, 20 seconds. I have no problem. So praying at night really doesn't work for me. So bottom line is we have to learn not to give God our spare crumbs, and we need to find time for him daily. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek second or seek third. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Rick Warren, who I stole and borrowed a lot of information for today's sermon, he talked about the way he starts out each morning. He sits on the edge of his bed, and he said, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I at least want to know you more and to love you better. And it's kind of a lofty goal because I think we get dressed, and if you're like me, I know all the stoplights, and I know which lights I have to make to get to work on time and everything else, and you just get lost in the day. But he said that he prays that same prayer every morning. I mean, he does other praying, but that's the way he starts his day. And he said even if he had the worst day, if he felt in any way that he got to know God just a little bit better and understand him just a little bit better, that it's been a worthwhile day with his relationship with God. He said that if he felt that that didn't happen for any reason, that he missed the whole purpose of the day. Okay, even though there might have been really good things that happened, that's his feeling, that he missed the whole purpose of the day. So You know, again, I think that sounds lofty, and I'll be honest with you. It's a work in progress for all of us, including myself. You don't have to have a pity party if you try something special, a special type of prayer in the morning, special way to begin your relationship with God in the morning. But I think the first step is just trying. It's not always going to be easy. You know, our life's a long journey. We're all at different steps in our life with our relationship with God, but hopefully we're all headed in the same direction, and that's just on a direction to God, living for Him, having that relationship with Him. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." All right, so write this down on your heart, and I promise to write it on my heart. I'm as close as God as I choose to be, okay? Because really, it's a choice. We can make all kinds of excuses, and I've heard them all, and I made them all. You get home, if you have kids, there's things to do with kids, whether it's making meals, looking over the schoolwork, whatever it might be. if your kids are growing, it's always easy. Okay, I deserve at least to sit down and rest. And then all of a sudden somebody texts you and you start texting. And then your favorite program comes on and it just goes on and on. And before you know it, each day is over. So we're only as close as God as we choose to be. You can't blame anybody else. This person's getting me off track. That person's getting me off track. My wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, they keep bothering me. Whatever it is, we're all responsible for our own relationship with God. If you feel far from God, guess who moved, okay? It isn't God that moved. We're moving away from Him. God is always there for us. So in some way, we didn't make God our number one priority at that time. So you can tell what's most important to people about what you hear them bragging about. And I thought of one when I read this. I thought about something that I kind of witnessed, and about a month and a half ago, I was traveling, and we were in this, I forget what you call that walkway, I had it written down here, boarding bridge, okay, that thing that takes you from, connects it from the airport to the plane, and you walk through it, and it was pretty packed that day, and we were almost moving nowhere fast, you know, we were just stuck, you'd move a foot, so I see this older gentleman, okay, probably in his 80s, and first thing that caught my eye is he had like two big diamond rings on, it just seemed kind of out of place, and I heard him start up a conversation with people, and he started to say that he travels a lot, his kids are grown, they're very successful, I think one was a doctor, one was a lawyer, and he just kind of bragged on them. And, you know, he was just painting this real rosy picture about, in a little snapshot, what his life is about. And that just seemed kind of, I thought, okay. Well, first of all, I thought, okay, Frank, stop judging him. Take that log out of your eye. But I was still peeking around the log, and my ear was kind of listening a little bit more. And then we moved maybe a few feet, and now there's a different mix of people. And he starts almost the same exact speech going on with another group. And this happens at least three times. And it's like, you know, it's really sad that, and I, I'm not judging him specifically, but it's sad that you reach that point in life that you're just judging what's important to you in life by your material goals, his rings, and what he did for his kids. And he bragged that he paid all of their college education and stuff. And those are all good things, but it's a shame that you don't have more in your life. So that's the point I'm trying to get across here, that, you know, what you brag about is usually what's in your heart. So I think we just have to be cautious if we catch ourselves doing that, and try to focus back on God. Is it nice to have nice things? Yeah, sometimes God gives you those or allows them for whatever reason that He allows things for. But just don't make that your number one priority. Make God your number one priority. How are we doing on time? Last time I know I really overshot, okay, so I'm going to try to do better this time. Wow, I did that pretty much by memory. Amazing. All right, so another Bible verse, Jeremiah 9:23. God says, the wise must not brag about their wisdom. The strong must not brag about their strength. The rich must not brag about their money. But if someone wants to brag, let him brag that he really understands and knows me. Okay, so that's kind of what I was getting across. And I think it's human nature for all of us. You know, we get a new car and it's like, hey, you see what's outside or whatever. You know, we work for those things, but I think we have to be cautious about that and just focus on what we should brag about. You know, and it's have you ever bragged to somebody about God? It's kind of, probably seems kind of weird, like, hey, you know God, he's cool. Okay, it seems kind of weird, but I think we could probably at least start to do things in subtle ways. I know we're probably ashamed to let people know that we're a friend of God, but maybe those are things we can think about. If we're really a friend of God, I mean, if you're a friend of somebody else's, they're your best friend, I don't think anybody ever hides that. They say, hey, Judy or whatever, Tammy or whoever, those are just fictitious names, all right? But if you're friends with somebody, you don't have any problem letting people know that, okay? But somehow we don't hear often that we mention something about God being our friend. And I was thinking that, especially with these holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, we're going to spend probably a little more time than normal with people that we don't see often, or even those we see often, whether it's at work, our families, whatever. And what a better time to practice just maybe slightly bragging about the fact that we know God. And it might, bragging might not be the word, but just letting them know that we love God and we enjoy all the blessings that he gives to us. So knowing God is matters most, and there's nothing, should be nothing more important in our lives. But sometimes we don't really feel that close to God for whatever reason. Maybe we had a bad day, a bad week, bad circumstances going on in our life. And I guess, how do you really know when you don't feel like you know God that well? So the answer is when you worry. When you worry, you're just kind of forgetting about all those things you know about God. How awesome he is, that he has your back, that he cares about you, he loves you. He'll do whatever he can for you in your life. So when you start worrying, it's like we forget about God, and it's like, okay, time to take this into my own hands. So whenever you're worrying, maybe try to catch yourself. I try. Sometimes I just get lost in a worry, but sometimes I catch myself, and it's like, okay, hey, God, take this sucker, I can't handle it, okay? So I hope you guys can do the same. The second step in building a relationship with God is just to slow down and be quiet. By that I mean we're just in a hurried pace every day, whether you work or go to school or whatever it might be in your life, and we're basically kind of on a run. But to have a good relationship with God, we have to slow down. We have to take some time out. We don't have to, like, hide in a closet like some people think you have to do according to the way they interpret the Bible. But it's good to take time out in a quiet place, slow down, try to forget about everything else that's going on, and start a conversation with God. One of the Bible verses that support that is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I'm sure all of you heard that. There's also Psalm 25:14. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who reverence him. With them, he shares the secret of his covenant. So God shares special things with you when you take the time to have a meaningful relationship. When you slow down, put everything aside, and concentrate on him. Most people don't really know much about God, who he is, what he does, why he does what he does. So we just need that quiet time to sit down, to spend with God, read his word, ask him, hey, God, is there anything you want to say special to me today? And you would be surprised at times at how God speaks to each of us, whether it's just through a thought or reaching out to your heart. But that's how we need that quiet time, just to solely focus on Him. We don't need eloquent words with God. We don't have to be like the King James Bible, "Thus thou Lordest." Okay, you don't need that kind of language with God. You can speak the same way you guys speak to each other every day. But of course, there should be reverent to God. So setting time aside, like I mentioned, be simple and honest. God knows what's on our heart even before we talk to Him. But God appreciates our honesty. Just coming to church here every Sunday, it's a nice thing, and I'll never discourage you from doing that. That's not going to cut it with a relationship with God. He wants a lot more than that from you, and that's giving yourself to Him each day. 1 Timothy 6:21, Living Bible, it says that some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God, okay? And that's really sad. At least we know God. We just have to work on improving our relationship with Him. A lot of people that don't know God, and some that know maybe don't prioritize God. They know all the latest stats. They know the scores. They know what the score was of the last Packers game. They know about each player. They know when dancing, who's on Dancing with the Stars next week. Okay, and there's always a guy that asks if I watch Dancing with the Stars, and I say no, I don't watch. I don't really watch Dancing with the Stars, but different things are important to different people. And we just have to make sure that those things don't overshadow our relationship with God. In James 4:4, a New Century Version, you should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world, and when they say when it says the world, it basically means the ways of the world, becomes an enemy of God. Now, this sounds pretty harsh. It's like, okay, you're calling me enemy of God. I'm just saying what the Bible says, okay? I think we have to measure that, and those are heavy. Some of these verses are pretty heavy. But if we get caught up in everything in the world, it's easy to take our eyes off of God. In this passage, that James 4:4, God's talking about the value system of the world, materialism, pleasure, prestige. God wants us to love people and hate the value system of this world. But sometimes I think a lot of people, probably including me, sometimes we get that opposite and we love the value system and hate the people. It's easy to be prejudiced, prejudge people by whatever it might be, the type of job they have, color of their skin, what country they were born in, whatever it might be. And God just wants us to love His people. He wants what's important to Him to be important to us also. We need to share God's values. So God is interested in our character, not necessarily the way we dress. Okay, I got hounded about make sure you wear something at least halfway. You know, I think I changed clothes about 3 times today. But I'll be honest with you, and it's a nice gesture, but I don't think God really cares what any of us have on today as long as we have something on. But, you know, He just cares about our character. In John 15:14, it says, "You are my friends if you obey me." Okay, you know, I know a lot of these verses that I'm reading, I'm just trying to reinforce the relationship with God, the friendship aspect, and how much He really loves us. So just keep in mind that we're friends in God, but one dangerous thing that when we hear that friends of God, or we think of loving our best friend, caring about our best friend, just keep in mind that we're not His equal. God is still God, and we're still humans that He made, okay? Sometimes it's easy to forget, and we think you just get a little too crazy with God, but we still need to have that reverence and to love Him for who He is. So if you were friends of let's say, a king or somebody of royalty. You might have some special privileges, but you're still not that king or not that royalty. So you need to realize where your place is in your relationship with God. I can't really say I'm a Christian if I'm living by like the devil, okay? And I think sometimes there's a lot of gray area. Christian, devil, you know, we might not say we're living like the devil, but there's a lot of room in between. And I think it's always good for us to kind of gauge, okay, which direction are we headed? There's a pastor, Tony Evans, if you know Tony Evans. I like a little quote that he has. He said, "Don't let the people headed downward stop you from going upward." Okay, and I think it was just kind of a crafty little phrase, a simple phrase to remember that. There's a lot of people in this world, even people we might work with, could even be in our family, that might be pulling us downward when our goal is to head upward towards heaven throughout our life. We shouldn't really obey God when we're talking about a relationship. We shouldn't really obey God out of fear, out of guilt, out of obligation. I know times growing up, it's like, okay, it's the weekend's coming, and, you know, I don't know what type of services you guys are used to, but in the Catholic Church, they used to have a lot of services or masses, as they call them. They had Saturday, Sunday, they might have had like a 6:30, 9, 10:30, 12 noon. And I'll be honest with you, growing up, it's like the last thing on my mind was about worship. And probably the first thing was which one fits in best with my schedule. Okay, and that's really sad. But I think that's just a normal reaction in a lot of cases throughout with everybody in the world. So I think we really need to love God, not out of, as I said, fear, guilt, or obligation, but just because we want to. Because we want to come to church today, because we want to worship him, we want to love him for all those reasons. I mentioned before that we love God because he loved us first. Even as we were sinners, he loved us. And it's hard to imagine. I mean, if somebody treats us bad, it's like, I'm not talking to them. You know, I have no reason to. Why would I want to? But God loved us even while we were still sinners. So I think just knowing how much God loves us, if that can solidify why we should have a good relationship with God, I'm not sure what really would. We shouldn't feel restricted in life when we have God as our Lord and Savior and our friend. When I say we shouldn't feel restricted, that doesn't mean we do everything we want. But as Rick Warren said, he said, we have to pray that God will change our want to. Okay, and it's like, what? Okay, so we have to learn to change our want to, because we want to do a lot of things in life, and not all of them are good. So we have to analyze our want to's and see, are those the ones that God wants to? Okay, we have to align God's want to's with ours. He wants us to do certain things, to live a certain way, and we have to analyze our want-tos to see if they're in line with God's want-tos. The only way to do that is just to ask God for his help. We have to do our part, but we have to ask God for help in changing our want-tos so that everything that we do pleases him. When we do things that don't, those are just cheap thrills, and they lead us to guilt, depression. They're not dignified in any way. So we just have to learn to work and analyze every day what God wants us to be doing, and are we doing those things. In John 15, 9 through 11, it says, "I have loved you as the Father loves me. When you obey me, you remain in my love just as I remain in my Father's love when I obey him. I have told you this so you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." Okay? So just summarizing, God is saying that Jesus loves the Father, and when you obey me, you remain in the love just like he remains in his Father's love when he obeys him. And he's telling us that so that we'll just be filled with the same joy. and that your joy will overflow. The fourth step in building a relationship with God is to maintain a constant conversation with him. All right, now this one kind of is hard to comprehend, I think. And it's hard to do, and I've just been trying to do that lately. And sometimes a half a day goes by, and it's like, wow, I haven't even thought about God. Okay, so it doesn't happen overnight. It could take a long, long time. But having a conversation with God, it doesn't have to be real formal. It doesn't have to be like a certain starting and a certain ending, in Jesus' name we pray, and all those type of things. It could be short. We could be watching TV. And it's like, wow, God, that was awesome. Okay, whatever it might be. But through that constant interaction with God, we feel that closeness, we learn to be more like him, we share that fellowship and that friendship. I know when you guys, especially women, I think males are probably a little bit different, but I know when women are, they sure can talk, and they can be excited and tell you everything they've done in the last week, and why, and with who, and where they went, what they ate, everything else. But, and that's kind of, I mean, think about it. If we have a good relationship with God, if we have a close relationship with God, why wouldn't he want the same things for us? Why wouldn't he want that same relationship and more with us? Okay, but it takes a lot of effort to keep thinking about God throughout the day. But somewhere we have to start. And I think my challenge for you and I is to continually kind of do a self-check. And, just analyze, are you really talking to God throughout the day? Has he told you anything? As in one of Rick Warren's things about friends of God, he says, I'm talking to God every minute. As a matter of fact, he just told me that right now, you guys are cool. Okay, and Rick Warren's a little dorky, but I thought it was kind of funny anyways. So in John 15, 9 through 11, okay, we cover that, so I'm sorry. All right, that's what I get for talking too much to God while I'm talking to you guys. All right, so fourth step in building a relationship with God, maintain that constant conversation, like I said. Talk to God about anything and everything, just like you would do with your best friend. We'll go to a verse on 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's short. Pray all the time. It doesn't say pray some of the time. Pray when you think about it. It says pray all the time. So that's where I'm coming from with this. Is it easy to do? No. Is it a good goal to have? Yes. So the question would be, would your life be better if you prayed as much as you use social media and everything else, texting, phone calls, and all those other things that get in the way? Just think if you even use some of that time or all that time talking to God. Okay, that would be a big start. So I think in our life, it's not going to happen overnight. But if we look at some of those time wasters that we do that are fun but not really important in the big scheme of things, those are the times that we could spend time praying to God and talking to God. And again, it doesn't have to be formal. God just enjoys our friendship the way we are. He knows who we are. We're not hiding anything from him. In Philippians 3:10, my determined purpose is that I may become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, just what we've been talking about. So the fifth step in building a relationship with God, and that's the final step, is to trust God even in your pain, okay? There's times we have a lot of pain in our life. There's times things don't even make any sense. Seems like they're tipped upside down. Seems like you're going under. Sometimes it seems like the water is like right there. We're ready to drown. And boy, what a better way to go to God. But we have to trust God in our pain. We have to trust him in our suffering, our problems. In Psalm 55:22, it says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. All right, so you have to cast your cares. It doesn't mean like a fishing pole where you cast it and it's a nice, easy land. Okay, it's like, here, God, I need help with these. Okay, dropping them, setting them down, whatever it is. And a lot of times God uses pain in our lives. He uses suffering just to draw him close to us. So, you know, we might say, why would God ever allow anything like this to happen to me? Okay, God has a purpose for everything. We don't always see it, but there's a reason. And a lot of times it's to draw us closer to him. Sometimes prayers can be pretty intense, and God doesn't mind. Okay, he can handle it. We can yell, we can scream, not necessarily yell at him, but we can show him that we're really upset by our voice. And, you know, in the Bible, a lot of times you read about somebody crying out to God, okay? So it's not like, dear God, I have this little problem. I hope you can help me out. Things are really falling. Okay, we can scream to God. We can shout. We can express. He knows what's inside of us anyway. We can express it out to him. And the more you are honest you are with God, the deeper the friendship will be. I don't know if you've ever told any, like, something you really carry that was a secret and you share that with anybody. But it's like you feel so relieved after you've told somebody and got that off your chest. And that's the same thing with our relationship with God. We have to learn to get those things off of our chest when we have problems, when we have pain, and just ask him to help us. And God will. In his own way. It's not always our way, but in his own way. I don't know if you guys realize this. I didn't either until I did a little bit of research. But I think there's 150 psalms. Okay, and I believe it's 70%. I looked and one said a different number, but let's say it's 50%, 60%, 70% of those are in lament. In other words, like grief, pouring out your grief to God. So figure 70% of those psalms that we revere so much are basically complaining about our problems, you know, and asking God to help us, asking for God's intervention. So don't hide your hurt for God, because a lot of times that hurt turns into bitterness, and that just does more damage. It kind of churns inside of us, and it could do physical and mental cause physical and mental problems in our life also. So we need to trust God in our pain. Winding down this message, if you're in trouble right now, God will help you out. I mentioned that. In Psalm 91:14, it says, I'll get you out of your trouble, and I'll give you the best care if you only get to know and trust me. Okay, simple. It kind of sums everything up, or it kind of wraps everything up. I'll get you out of trouble, and I'll give you the best care if you'll only get to know and trust me. So that's what God wants. He wants us to know him. He wants us to trust him. And if you've been close to God in the past, but you've fallen away or you don't feel as close anymore, there is hope, but you have to know and trust God. Job 29:4 says, in my early years, the friendship of God was felt in my home. Okay, so he felt that friendship, but now it's like there's something missing in his life. And I think a lot of times that's way in our life also. It is in mine. There's things I know that I've done 5 years ago, six, seven, that I really felt close to God. And I'm not sure if I feel that same closeness. And that's something I have to ask God about and work out with him. In Jeremiah 15:19, it says, if you return to me. So we're talking again about kind of feeling like there's a disconnection between God and us. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak words that are worthy, you will be my spokesman. You are to influence them. Do not let them influence you. So don't let others influence you in the wrong way. I mentioned about Pastor Tony Evans mentioning that don't let people headed down stop you from going up. And we just need to keep that relationship healthy between God and us. So God is not finished with you and I. And if we return to him, he'll restore us. In finality, the takeaway from this sermon is God really wants us to be friends with him, but we have to do our part to make that happen. I shared with you a ton of Bible verses. Okay, maybe not a ton, I exaggerated, but a lot of Bible verses today that support this. So what more proof do we need that God wants a relationship with us and how much he really loves us and desires that friendship with us? If I've given you a guilt trip in any way, I meant it, not really. No, if I've given you a guilt trip in any way about whether you're one of God's best friends or is something other than that, don't take it that way. It's easy to feel we're either one or the other. We're 100% God's best friends, or we're like best buddies with Satan, okay? But really, it's all this in between that we're where we're at. In reality, we're all on a path, growing and moving forward with God, and we're in different places in our life, okay? So we shouldn't be judging ourselves by comparing ourselves with somebody else. The main thing we should concentrate is seeking God's presence, trying to improve our relationship with him every day. We need to ask God daily for his guidance, his wisdom, his grace, and he'll do his part in supplying everything we need to have a fruitful, God-honoring relationship with him, both now and forever. Let's pray.